Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grow Your Garden Radio, where it's easy to be green. Today we're actually going to be red, not green. Well, reddish adjacent. We're going to be talking about tomatoes, and not all tomatoes are red. Details on that in a moment. A few weeks ago, I was comparing the growth rates of my tomato plants from my garden up here in the Hilltowns to that of where some of my plants are growing in the lower altitudes of Berkshire County. At that time, my tomatoes were still green, and theirs were ripe. Well, my plants have finally caught up with the rest of their brethren and are producing some pretty nice fruits. I'm getting about a pound of cherry tomatoes a day. Tomatoes are one of my favorite crops to grow. They're usually extremely hardy, they grow like weeds, and resist quite a few pests. They will usually be fine as long as you have good soil and take some precautions. They will also continue producing fruits for quite a while. Mine have been producing now for about 4 weeks. I expect to get probably 2 more weeks out of them before there's just not enough light during the day to fuel their need for energy. In the past, we've spoken about soil quality. Essentially, a good quality soil with appropriate drainage and a broad, balanced spectrum of nutrients will help support healthy roots and immune systems and the setting of flavorful fruits. Tomatoes are, however, voracious feeders. They can benefit from careful supplementation as they're being planted and timed appropriately throughout their life cycle. I found a great article detailing a nutritional summary for tomatoes. It's from yara.us, yara.us. Search for tomato nutrient summary. It gives an account of all the major and some of the micronutrients in soil and how tomatoes utilize them. You can also find the link on growyourgardenradio.com for episode 7 show notes. I'll be doing an episode specifically on soil amendments in the future, and that's going to go into detail about soil chemistry. So stay tuned for that. Good quality soil depends upon many things, such as proper aeration, good quality compost, crop rotation, and appropriate tillage practices. Tomatoes love light. Be sure you plant in a place that gets as much light as possible during the day. They will love it. Tomatoes also need consistent watering. I find for my soil type, the cultivars that I like, and my location, that 1 inch of water a week is just about right. Your mileage may vary. Consistency is critical, especially after the fruit has been set. Periods of dry weather followed by heavy rain can tend to cause the tomatoes to quickly absorb water and crack the skin. Now, that's not necessarily going to ruin the tomatoes because they will form a little bit of a scar-type tissue and continue ripening. As long as nothing infects the fruit during the time that the scar tissue is forming, you should have a good quality product. It's just going to look a little beat up. So what would you do during the summers when we're having a monsoon in between drought for what seemed like weeks on end? Well, for plants still in their vegetative cycle, excess moisture can cause 3 or so basic problems. The roots can rot if you don't have good drainage. Nutrients can be washed away, causing malnourishment. And moisture-loving pathogens like some molds and insects could proliferate. The first problem and second problem are taken care of by having the best quality soil with the most appropriate drainage for your bed type. Moisture-loving pathogens can be mitigated by having adequate spacing between your plants. This allows really good airflow and just keeps everything from growing and where it's not supposed to be growing. And have a good distance between the ground and your first set of leaves. I usually trim leaves and branches off at least 6 inches above the soil. That seems a lot, but this helps prevent the splashing of contaminants from the soil onto the leaves of the plant. Now, I also use a ground cover, and that isolates the contaminants below the cover and don't allow any splashing to occur from the soil to the leaves and branches. I solved the problem of monsoons by using what's called a low tunnel in my raised beds. A low tunnel is simply material that's stretched over hoops inserted into the ground around the plants. Most often you'll see shade covering the plants to reduce the amount of sunlight on very tender crops or to insulate it from light frosts. I use an agricultural quality clear plastic, which is light but reduces the amount of water that goes into the beds. So it's basically a really long umbrella. These tunnels allow me to control the water reaching the soil. I've got them set up so that way the plastic can roll up easily to allow rain in when it's needed, and I also roll it up when it's very sunny, otherwise the plants could cook. This won't be as effective if you have a ground-level garden because the water's going to infiltrate from outside of the hoop area. The West Virginia University Extension Office has an article on how to construct low tunnels and some of its uses. Search for West Virginia University Extension Office, look for low tunnels, or look at the link on growyourgardenradio.com. It'll take you right to it. So why are tomatoes so popular? More important, why are so many people talking about tomatoes? Google Scholar has over 1,700,000 articles with tomato as a keyword, as opposed to, let's say, 800,000 articles on lettuce. Well, first, tomatoes are commercially very popular. They are listed in the top 10 of cash crops in the United States, coming in at about $2.2 billion a year. Now, aside from being easy to grow for the home gardener, they're extremely versatile for the home chef. Some of the major types of tomatoes are beefsteak, Roma or plum, cherry, grape, heirloom, pearl, and tomatillos. Everybody has their favorites for various uses. In general, their different sugar, water, and acidic content lend themselves to different optimal uses in the kitchen. For instance, beefsteak tomatoes. Those are your stereotypical tomatoes you think of when you think of a tomato. It's large. It's between 8 ounces to a pound for each tomato. It's meaty. It's juicy. It's got great structure for sandwiches, for burgers, and for grilling. It's going to hold up really, really well. One of my favorite ways to eat a beefsteak tomato is simply take it right off the vine, put a little salt on it, and eat it like an apple. And yes, I carry a salt shaker into the garden with me for such emergencies. Don't you? Next is the Roma or plum tomatoes. They're more oval-shaped and they, look like a plum. Because they're pretty dense and less watery than others, they're excellent for making nice thick sauces, pastes, and they can well. Cherry tomatoes are my absolute favorites. They're small, they're round, they're sweet, they're great for salads, and they're easy to carry around for snacking. I especially like these for salads. Incorporating them into a salad without cutting them up retains the moisture inside of the tomato. This keeps the rest of the salad ingredients from becoming soggy. I'll prepare a couple salads in advance for quick snacks or meals, and all the ingredients stay nice and crisp. Another reason I favor these is that they grow rather quickly and continue fruiting on the same plant until the lack of sunlight or killing frost stops them. So why are people still talking about tomatoes so much? Well, tomatoes are rather controversial. Never would have thought of it, would you? Although they're botanically classified as fruits because they develop from the ovary of a flower and contain seeds, they're legally classified as vegetables in the United States. And no, it wasn't Ronald Reagan's fault. We'll get back to him in a moment. The vegetable classification came out purely because of economic reasons. Follow me on this. If you're planning on being a Jeopardy contestant or play trivia, you're going to thank me someday. The Tariff Act of 1883 imposed a tax on all imported vegetables, but not fruits. As a result, there was a financial incentive to classify tomatoes as vegetables for tariff purposes. In 1893, 10 years later, a tomato importer sued the tax collector of the Port of New York to argue that his tomatoes should be classified as fruits to avoid the tariffs. This went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the judges unanimously decided that tomatoes should be classified as vegetables. This was partially based on their common culinary use, which is salads, main courses, and savory dishes, rather than as fruits, which are typically used in desserts. This case established the legal precedent that tomatoes are vegetables in the context of trade and tariff regulations, despite their botanical classification as fruits. And so how did Ronald Reagan get tossed that political hot potato, or should I say hot tomato? The USDA wanted to classify ketchup as a vegetable because it was cheap, and if classified as a vegetable, it would fulfill the nutritional requirements for vegetable servings and school lunch programs in a very cheap way. Now, that proposal was shot down by public outcry and nutritionists who made the case that a product such as ketchup that typically has 15 to 20% sugar content was not suitable to be called a vegetable. And they actually had to feed the kids vegetables. Who would ever thought that tomatoes would be so troublesome? Well, that's only the tip of the iceberg. Let us continue on with another sort of controversy, and that's how early do you harvest your tomatoes? I'm sure we've all purchased something that was technically a tomato in the wintertime in a local market that looked beautiful. It was nice, it was firm, it was even shiny. But when you got home, if you were able to cut into it, you found a dull color on the inside and it didn't taste anything like a tomato. Most likely that was harvest while it was extremely firm and barely ripe so it could survive the long shipping journey. Tomatoes are rather delicate when they're ripe. They're soft, they're squishy, they don't stack well, they don't drive well, and they don't ride well. Imagine being a tomato that has to travel from Mexico, Canada, Honduras, or Guatemala to the United States. It's a long journey, and they have to be strong enough to survive. This does not lend to a flavorful, well-balanced tomato. And finally, for today's broadcast, let's talk about some tomatoes that are not red. Yes, there are some incredible cultivars that are very interesting to look at and very flavorful. There's a yellow pear tomato, which is pretty much as described. They're bright yellow. They have a very nice tomato-y flavor. Is tomato-y a word? It is today. There's a green zebra tomato. It's a green tomato with yellow stripes known for its tangy flavor. Even though it's green, it is ripe. The black crème tomato. It's a dark mahogany-colored tomato with a rich, slightly salty taste. Many people call these chocolate tomatoes. Unfortunately, they don't taste like chocolate, but they do have a rich, tomato-y flavor. And there's also a white Thomas tomato. It's pale, almost white, with a mild, sweet flavor. And we've got the orange Amada tomato. It's a large, vibrant orange tomato that were very sweet. I grew some one year, and they were quite excellent, and they just looked incredible. They're very interesting. Well, I hope you enjoyed this brief look at the vast topic of tomatoes. Hopefully this answers some questions you might have on tomatoes or inspired to try some different cultivars. I've listed several resources on this topic for further reading. There's obviously a lot of literature on this to the tune of over 1,700,000 articles, so you're going to keep pretty busy over the wintertime. As always, thank you so much for your time and your interest in this show. Go to Grow Your Garden Radio to listen to past episodes, leave comments, or access free show notes and other resources for further exploration. And remember, it can be easy to be green.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.